Ever wonder what God may have been thinking in giving us the law? Pastor Ray Bentley says it's God's message about an eternal truth.
You guys don't understand how radical sin is. Therefore, I'm going to give you an original covenant, the law. And in the law, I will teach you the radical nature of my holiness, and I will teach you how radical sin is, and I will also be giving you a picture of Jesus.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. Why would God give us instructions that He knows we can't possibly keep? It's so that we might get to the end of ourselves and find that our only hope is trusting in the sacrifice of Jesus for our sins. Today, in the book of Hebrews, Pastor Ray shows us this radical, eternal truth and how it applies to our lives.
Let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 7. The title of the message is Access Holiness. Verse 11, it says, "Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron?" Now, if you are new and you're just joining us, we're going here through the book of Hebrews. He's actually writing Jewish believers in Jesus Christ. But many of them were worried about, hey, well, wait a second, and what happened to our high priest and sacrifices and all of that? Because now Jesus has been crucified, he has risen from the dead, and so Paul and others have been saying he, Christ, has finished, fulfilled the law on our behalf. The writer of Hebrews has been saying that God had already planned on replacing the Levitical priesthood with a better priesthood that would bring us greater immediate access to the presence of God. And so that's why he now mentions Melchizedek. There was a prophecy about the Messiah in the Psalms. And that prophecy said that when the Messiah would come, he would be a priest, a high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, which is an eternal priesthood. So the writer of Hebrews is saying, logically, if God mentioned that another priesthood that was everlasting was to come along, doesn't it presuppose that the other one was insufficient and needed to be replaced? Access to God was the goal of every true child of God, every believer in the Lord. They wanted to access into God's presence. So again, look with me, verses 12 through 14. The writer continues, "For the priesthood being changed of necessity, there is also a change of the law. Because the law and the priesthood go together. If God's going to replace the Levitical priesthood with Melchizedek to bring us into a greater experience of God's presence, then the law is going to have to be replaced as well." That's his logic. Verse 13, "For he of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, from which no man has officiated at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord arose or ascended from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning the priesthood." So he's talking about how Melchizedek brings a new order and that Jesus is coming from the tribe of Judah, yes, as the king of Israel, but after the order of Melchizedek, a greater priesthood to bring us into the presence of God. Now, look with me back at verse 11. "Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, then he would not have spoken of something else to replace it." Perfection means access, to give standing before. And in many ways, the priesthood of the Levites, there were all these stages that really did not bring us that standing. Perfection meant the ability to stand and remain in the presence of God and the manifest presence of God. So that's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. Jesus, our high priest, brings us standing. He brings us access to God. It's actually a legal term. By what right are you standing here, and what do you plead? And so the standing that we have comes from Jesus Christ. The law brings us to Jesus. Now, I have just started reading in Leviticus, the most exciting book you can ever imagine in the Bible. In fact, here's my summary, cliff notes of Leviticus. Lots of sin, a lot more blood. And as I'm reading through all these sacrifices and all the blood and all and everything that's going on, there were two things that came loud and clear to me. And one was this. He's saying, my son, look, look how radical my holiness is. God's holiness, I don't know a better English word to communicate to you that God's holiness is unbelievably radical. That's God's nature. He can't change. He can't help who he is. That's who he is. God is holy. And the other side that we also learn from Leviticus is the radical sinfulness of man at every turn. And so as you go through this, what the Lord begins to bring into your heart is a hatred for sin, a revulsion to it, and wanting to get rid of it and get it out of our lives. Because it's not just that, okay, the gospel, Jesus died for me, rose, I believe in him, I'm forgiven. And it's not, you're not forgiven so you can just go on sinning and go on being forgiven. The idea is that we actually begin to be transformed. Transformation means that I begin thinking differently as a son of my Father in heaven. I change my mind, the very root word of repentance. I begin to agree with God, that is sinful, that is wrong. I look at my own life, the weaknesses of my flesh and all the rest of it, and I begin, you know, the whole night of the Passover, they looked frantically for even the smallest, tiniest measure of leaven. Get it out of the house. On that great night where they desired the sparing, the atonement, the covering of the angel of death, that their son, their firstborn son's life would be spared. And as you go through Leviticus, you begin to see that these sacrifices and all of the sin and the blood and the radicalness of God's holiness and how radical sinfulness is becomes a picture of Jesus Christ. He's the fulfillment of it. You want a picture that you can understand how radical God's holiness is? It's called the cross. It's called the crucifixion. You want to know how radical God is in his holiness? He would not spare even his own son, who he sent to this world because he loved us. And his son voluntarily gave his life because he didn't want us separated from the presence of God for all of eternity. But even still, rather than God merely lowering the bar so everybody can just come on in, the nails, the crown of thorns, the beating, the scourging of his only begotten son on that day, that was God saying, I can't even one inch lower the bar of how radical my holiness is. Now, I remind you that by the Holy Spirit, if you are a believer and have faith in Jesus Christ, his Holy Spirit has come to live and take residence in you and in me. And he is radical. He's amazingly, radically holy. That should begin to dawn upon us. And then as we grow in his word, we begin to change our minds about sin, and now we begin looking for sin. We're not waiting for something to happen or even someone else to point it out. We begin going through our lives and saying, this has got to go. This is death to me. And the other thing you begin to realize as you walk with the Lord is that sin has a way of dulling the inner core of our humanity that is made in the image of God. It dulls it. You don't feel anything anymore. It sears the conscience. So walking in the Lord and walking in obedience and reading his word and coming alive spiritually is you become more and more and more sensitive. You begin to get rid of sin by the grace of God and the help of the Holy Spirit and get it out of your life. The writer of Hebrews says, and it is yet far more evident if in the likeness of Melchizedek there arises another priest who has come, not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. It's talking about Jesus. See, priests would die. They had to be replaced. And the other thing that he'll go on to mention is, and so if these sacrifices were so all-sufficient, how come they kept having to have more and more and more sacrifices? Jesus' sacrifice satisfies God for eternity. He doesn't need any more forever and ever and ever. Praise the Lord.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. We're so blessed when we hear from listeners like this one.
Just sending this note to let everyone know how blessed my husband and I have been listening to your radio broadcast. I am a stay-at-home mom, and I listen while jogging with my 2-year-old and cleaning up the dishes from dinner. My husband is in the military and has been studying the book of Jeremiah in response to a comment from Pastor Ray saying that it was the greatest book on leadership. Thank you so much for your wonderful teaching.
How have Pastor Ray's studies been a blessing in your life? Send Pastor Ray an email and let him know. Write ray@raybentley.com. That's ray@raybentley.com. And for spiritual growth resources, go to raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Verse 17, for he testifies, you are a priest, speaking of the Messiah, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness, for the law made nothing perfect. And again, if you replace that word perfect with access to God's presence, he is saying in verse 19, for the law did not bring anyone into a permanent access of the presence of God. On the other hand, he says, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. We have access to God, all of us, not just one, the high priest, nor even just the priests, but all of the children of God, all the sons and daughters of God are able to draw near into the presence of God and experience the glory of the Lord forever. The new covenant was prophesied by the prophet Jeremiah, and Jeremiah 31 verse 33, I'll just read it to you in verse 34. He says, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. He's talking about the new covenant. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. God said, in other words, you guys don't understand how serious your human situation is. You do not understand how holy I am and how far your sins have distanced you from me and how evil, wicked, and eternally damning that it is. You do not understand how radical sin is. Therefore, I'm going to give you an original covenant, the law. And in the law, I will teach you the radical nature of my holiness, and I will teach you how radical sin is, and I will also be giving you a picture of Jesus. Because in Jesus Christ, we have both pictures, how radical God's holiness is, that he spared not his own son, and how radical sinfulness is, that the only perfect human being that ever walked on the planet Earth was nailed to a cross. Which part of humanity is not guilty from that? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So in the cross of Christ, we see God's radical holiness and the radical sinfulness of man. Therefore, he said, I'm going to prefigure this new covenant. Those who trust in my Son will have eternal life. The benefits of the new covenant, one is atonement. That word atonement means a covering. It means that your sins are not just covered over, but they are removed. And that we are forgiven. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Let's read this scripture out loud together. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Oh, don't forget, the grace of God is free, but it is not cheap. There are some today that make a cheap grace. It wasn't cheap. It's free, but it's not cheap. Do you understand what I'm saying? John chapter 11, verse 25. Let's read this out loud. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, we do believe it. We have life in Christ, and therefore we have access to stand in the presence of God and his glory placed within our hearts. Conscience, Hebrews 9:14, let's read that. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Do you know how valuable it is to have a clean, cleared conscience? How much time, effort, energy, and money, how people are searching, you know, hither, thither, and yon, doing anything, going anywhere to cleanse their conscience. Your conscience will convict you and condemn you and destroy you. Forget the Bible, the Ten Commandments, or anything else. Your own mind will condemn you to death, and there are many people who come to the end of themselves and want to end life because their own conscience condemns them. It's the human condition of sin. Guilt. What will remove it? The blood of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, though we don't fully fathom it, and there is a certain mystery to it, we do know this. A man gave his life for us because he loved us and wanted to spare us. The love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So we have a clean conscience by the blood of Jesus. Oh, how powerful that is. And then access, John 14:6. Let's read this. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's the uniqueness of Jesus. Nobody lived his life. Nobody. No other religion. No other religious leader. Nobody even comes close to doing what he did and who he is. He says, I am the way. And the beautiful thing is, people think, oh, it's such a narrow door. No, you don't understand. Yes, it's narrow because it's through Jesus and him alone we come to the Father. But the truth of the matter is, once you come through that narrow door, it's wide enough to encompass every nation, every language, every color, every kindred, every tribe, and every tongue of the whole planet Earth. For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For God so loved the world. I mean, you know, the only way you cannot go to heaven is if you don't want to go there. Everything has been done for us. And Jesus extends his hand, says, take my hand, trust me. I will carry you through this life and even through death itself and bring you into the eternal place that I have prepared for you. And look with me in verse 16. Who has come not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. Jesus is alive. He is risen. The same Jesus that died and was crucified and was buried and that arose on the third day and ascended up into heaven and is even now seated at the right hand of the majesty on high is alive forevermore. God is so humble and he loves us so much that he became a human being, the incarnation. And then he loved us so much, he said, if I let you guys die, it's over for eternity. So I will incarnate through my Son, he will pay the price for your sins. And God is so humble, and talk about a mystery, God, through Jesus Christ, even allowed death to kill him. But because he is God, on the third day, he flexed, as it were, his nature, and death was conquered and vanquished for all time and eternity. Jesus has, for all time and eternity, defeated death. Destroyed the works of the devil. We have nothing to fear. John chapter 10, verse 17 says, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. Amen? Praise the Lord. I want to leave you with one last little story about the access to the presence of God that you and I have. There's a pastor, Donald Gray Barnhouse, who's written a lot of commentaries on the Bible. I've read many of his books and commentaries, and he always had a great love for our Catholic brothers and sisters and wanting to reach out to them and share with them. So whenever he had an opportunity to maybe talk with a priest, he would do so. And one day he was in Europe, and he was on his way to some conference, and he was on a train, and there was a priest, and so they... began to have a conversation. And so the priest said to Dr. Barnhouse, he says, "So now, Dr. Barnhouse, why is it that you Protestants do not pray to saints?" So Dr. Barnhouse looked at him and smiled and said, "Oh, well, that's a very good and interesting question." And so he turned it back and he said, "Well, why do you pray to saints?" So the priest said, "Let me explain it to you like this. Here we are on our way through Europe, and soon we will be in France. And if you wanted to go before the president of France, you could not go to him, write to him right now. But let's say that I knew someone and I had a friend who was in the interior of ministry or maybe the interior of agriculture, the Department of Agriculture, and I called my friend and I made an appointment for you to see them and explain how you wanted to see the president of France and then could make a call to the secretary and set things up." And then he smiled and he said, "Do you see how this might be helpful in such a situation?" And Dr. Barnhouse said, "I certainly could see how your logic and your reason, and that's a tremendous illustration." And so the priest smiled and he said, "So what do you think?" And Dr. Barnhouse said, "Well," he said, "perhaps." He goes, "Let me put it this way to you. Let's suppose that I was the son of the French president. And if I were the son of the French president, I wouldn't need to know his cabinet. I wouldn't need to call the ministers or even the secretary. I would have a phone that I might have direct access. And I would just pick up the phone and say, 'Papa?'" And the priest looked at him and smiled and said, "Very interesting." And then Dr. Barnhouse said, "You know, what we both read in our Bible is that you and I are actually the sons of our Heavenly Father. We, if we needed to, could go perhaps through others, but because we are the sons and daughters of the living God, we have direct access." Amen?
Great perspective on how our relationship as redeemed children grants us direct access to God. Pastor Ray Bentley with another study in the book of Hebrews. Now, you can hear today's message on CD. It's a study called Access Holiness, and we can send it to you for a gift of any amount. Contact us and mention the title Access Holiness. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Hebrews on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at raybentley.com. Or here's where to write: Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available a great resource of yours, the booklet Dealing with Discouragement and Depression. The psalmist was no stranger to that kind of dark cloud, was he?
No, and David, you're right. In the Psalms, David, the psalmist, writes from his own personal experience. He was very transparent in his times of desperation. Here was a man after God's own heart, and this is by the Lord's estimation. And he had tremendous faith, tremendous love, a sweet spirit of worship and praise. And yet David was a human being, and none of us can escape that. And in our humanity, there are going to be all kinds of blows that we take. Sometimes they're mental, sometimes they're physical, sometimes they're emotional. And so we just pray in the name of Jesus that God will have grace and mercy upon us in those times.
And I know that you've got a resource that will help kind of reinforce those principles, don't you?
Yes, we do. It's called Dealing with Discouragement and Depression. And it's really a booklet that came out of the scriptures, but also out of my life experience as a pastor, as a child of God, as a believer, in finding hope and then strength and even finding victory in our darkest hour.
All right. Well, we hope you'll let us send you a copy of Pastor Ray's important booklet, Dealing with Discouragement and Depression. We'll send it to say thank you for your gift of any amount. It's your support that allows us to bring you Pastor Ray's studies each day, so we hope you'll make them possible with your donation today. Write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at raybentley.com. Well, next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Hebrews. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.